Next, we'll meet an immigrant who leads a divided life. She lives in the world's richest nation but feels deep ties to one of its poorest. To finish our stories on immigrants giving back to their home countries, NPR's Jennifer Ludden spent time with an Afghan American. By simply listening to people in Afghanistan, she feels she is helping them and herself come to terms with the country's turbulent recent history.
Maliha Zulfikar left Afghanistan as a young mother in 1979, the year the Soviets invaded. Today, she teaches ethnic studies at California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo, and her own experiences are often a case in point for the class.
Imagine, of all the countries on this earth, in front of you, somebody is standing from a dirt-poor country on this earth.
Now in her mid-50s, Zulfikar is still stylish in black boots and a traditional Afghan red chapban overcoat. She delights in making the students guess where she's from.
South Africa? Okay, you guys are really positive. What's a country that has been in war for the past 23 years?
Israel.
Afghanistan. How many of you will wish that, oh God, make me born in Afghanistan?
For two decades, Zulfikar says she dreamed of her homeland, but felt isolated from it. In the last years of the Taliban, she sought ways to reach out, even visiting once for a conference on women's issues. Then, when the U.S. invaded in 2001, Zulfikar seized the opportunity to do what she could. She launched a fundraising drive to buy chairs for a school. She helped open a daycare center at Kabul University, and she began teaching there herself, part-time. This let her reconnect with her old city and neighborhood, and in that way, an oral history project took shape, almost by accident.
I was really searching for familiar faces, walking on the streets, trying to, you know, greet people, or I look different than everybody else, so everybody will look at me and smile.
But when Zulfikar tried to speak with them, a crowd would form. So she started inviting strangers to her house for lunch. And that's when the stories spilled out. Zulfikar interviewed anyone. This is a 10-year-old boy she found selling cigarettes on the street. So young, and yet she says the things children in Afghanistan have witnessed are stunning. When Zulfikar asks about his family, young Najib says, "I have 5 sisters, 2 are dead, and 5 brothers, 1 is dead." He describes attacks by Russian forces and tells of once hiding in the grass with his father when the Taliban ambushed the family's car. For many she's met, especially the older people, Zulfikar believes telling their stories has been therapeutic.
It has been so difficult. Everybody is at the stage of survival that you just have to keep on going in order not to die, that there's not much opportunity to go back and think things through. And it was kind of luxurious for them, for somebody to ask them what they have gone through.
Listening to the interviews, Zulfikar does have a way of drawing people out, following with interest each dramatic turn in their harsh lives. Here, a domestic worker named Layla is telling of her years as a refugee and the humiliating deprivations her family endured. At one point, Layla seems to lean in shyly and says to Zulfikar, "You're like a mother to me. That's why I'm telling you these things."
I had a tandoor oven and I baked bread for others, but we didn't always have enough for ourselves. So I would collect the small hard pieces and soak them in water for the children to eat.
Zulfikar says she's been amazed at the resilience of ordinary Afghans who've endured decades of conflict.
There was one particular old man that he will laugh about how he will run from one corner of the street to the other as the rockets were flying in the air to survive. And he would laugh and laugh and laugh. Then immediately he would say, Yeah, but my son died. And immediately he would start to cry. It was between laughter and crying at the same time.
This month, Maliha Zulfikar embarked on yet another project. She managed to secure visas and scholarships for two young Afghan girls. They're staying at her house while they get settled.
How was for you school today?
Both girls are 19. Farida is tiny with a mop of dark hair. Olker is bubbly and blonde. While they fry chicken for dinner, Zulfikar helps them practice their English. She asks Olker, a Muslim, about her visit to the mission church downtown.
Akbar told me you went to church.
Yes.
Why you wanted to go to church?
I don't know. I like it, church. Yeah. I go in here and I pray to God. I'm so cool in my heart. And
Zulfikar is a single mother to two grown children, and her new activism, the long absences, have been difficult for them and her. So what motivates her? Partly, it's guilt. She says she felt profound guilt for many years, cut off from Afghanistan. Now that's gone. But Zulfikar also insists her work helps her as much as anyone. She marvels at the stories of survival.
What it is about them, that they're so resilient, that they continue to smile. And I think to listen to their stories somehow stopped me about self-pitying. It brought a different perspective about life.
Maliha Zulfikar has hours and hours of taped interviews. She plans to use them for a book and maybe put them on a website. She's also put recorders in the hands of students at Kabul University who've collected their own interviews. Those transcripts are now being edited for publication to produce what Zulfikar says is all too rare, a history of Afghanistan as told by Afghans. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
That's the end of our series on immigrants giving back, and you can hear previous stories by going to our website, npr.org.